My topic today is, go ye therefore in the midst of a pandemic. Before we start, shall we bow our heads in a word of prayer as we ask the Lord, the Holy Spirit, to be with us this evening. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you so much for bringing us all together here. Father, we know that this is your divine intervention, that you brought each and every one of us here in various professions to come together to hear and be encouraged and to be inspired to go forth with the medical missionary work. You've blessed us with the right arm of the gospel. Father, I pray that this evening as I share, may your Holy Spirit be with us, guide us, teach us, lead us, inspire us, that we may leave here different from how we came. Thank you so much for hearing our prayer. We submit this presentation onto your hands. We pray all this now in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, the year 2020, it's indeed a year to remember. COVID-19 has hit us fairly rapidly and it needs no further introduction. And we all have witnessed the global effects wiping across the globe, affecting every family in its path, either directly or indirectly. It also has been a year of a division of race. It also has been a division of political unrest where confusion could be felt across the globe as the world watched on who will be the next president of the United States. But regardless, brothers and sisters, our mission that God has entrusted unto us as Seventh-day Adventists must still go on. But it turns out that more than 150 years ago, in 1863, it was also a year to remember. In 1863, the year opened with a civil war, also in the United States, sparked by the issues of slavery, which had actually reached a point of concern of the newly organized Seventh-day Adventist Church. In addition to the crisis, Moses Hull, one of the few ministers of the church, has actually left the ranks to join the spiritualist. So it hit the church pretty hard. And in 1863, an epidemic struck. Four Adventists in Catlin, New York, has died of a dreadful disease, diphtheria. Well, diphtheria, it's a rare disease that we don't see these days, and I certainly have not seen any of them in my whole of my career, typically because it's been essentially controlled by the vaccinations that we have. Diphtheria can be a mild disease, but it can be quite severe as well. And typically symptoms like having a fever, sore throat, and they have a very, very distinct plaque, a white plaque or a gray plaque on the back of the throat that can essentially swell and obstruct the airways. Not only affecting the airways, it can also affect the nerves, causing inflammation, paralysis, as well as myocarditis, which is the inflammation of the heart, causing arrhythmia and subsequently death. So this disease had been raging throughout the country in the United States to an alarming extent. And it also, to the greater extent, it baffles the skills of the physician. The disease is confined almost exclusively to children. But once it has gone underway, death is almost certain to be the result. It passed through towns and missing hardly any family. And in some instances, whose families of children has been swept away. For the medical world at that time, and for almost everyone, these were the days of great ignorance in the health lines. Bacteria and viruses at that time were unknown. And when diseases struck, the symptoms were treated with poisonous drugs, alcohol, blisters, and bleeding. And there was anxiety in every home, in particular in the town of Battle Creek, where Ellen White lived. And then it happened in the first week of February, two of James and Ellen White's three boys complain of severe sore throat and high fever. And they could hardly utter a word, undeniably frightening symptoms of diphtheria. Fortunately, with the providence of God, James and Ellen White had in their hands a journal by Dr. James Jackson entitled Diphtheria, Its Causes, Its Treatments, and Its Cure. And James and Ellen White eagerly flipped through the pages of the journal and immediately put into practice. The treatment was rather simple. Essentially what they only need was a wash tub, towels, sheets and blankets, and essentially demanded diligent and earnest labor. And they were attained, these treatments were attained by simple means, which we call hydrotherapy today, with proper baths, rest, fresh air, and above all, the absence of anxiety. And in addition, Dr. Jackson reported over a period of years, the employing means in hundreds of cases involving young and old, and not one patient has been lost. Has 2020 been a year for us as Adventists to proclaim our health message? Have we not seen the scientific evidence that has repeatedly shown to us the benefits of sunlight? Increasing our levels of vitamin D has shown to decrease the mortality and morbidity of COVID-19. And having exercise and boosting our immune system and the importance of having fresh air and ventilation has also been something that Ellen White has been talking about for more than 150 years. But it was also in June 6, in 1863, where the first major health reform vision was given to Sister White, a mere 16 days after the first general conference was organized. Our church is not inexperienced with epidemics and pandemic, because it's about to hit in 1918, we were hit with the influenza pandemic. The article written by Michael Campbell in Adventist and 1918 Influenza Pandemic reflected about how this pandemic actually impacted our church. Specifically, how did we respond to this pandemic? 1918 to 1919, the influenza pandemic has three major waves in the United States, the second of which was the most virulent and caused the most deaths. I think we kind of saw that similar to in Melbourne. Most of the church and school closures were based upon the advice of local health and government officials with the strong support from church leaders. And Dr. Rubble, the director of the denomination's health work at that time, wrote several times how he felt that the denomination was caught unprepared by this epidemic. He wrote, "Every young person, yes, every member of our denomination, old or young, male or female," he wrote, "might have been busy day and night during the present epidemic if they have been prepared. On the number of other occasions, particularly towards the end of the epidemic, he bemoaned how the epidemic has brought them 10 times the number of opportunities to do missionary work if only they have been ready. While churches and schools were closed, as Adventist evangelists were no longer able to hold public meetings, for those who were willing to be flexible and adapt, they could now more than ever before be a living witness of hope and faith to their sick friends and neighbors. Is history repeating itself? Were we ready when COVID-19 came? Here in Melbourne, Victoria, 2020, we've been met with very harsh lockdown and witnessed the state of emergency being declared. Travels being restricted to 5 kilometers unless, you know, where you live, unless you have permits to go to work. Churches and schools were closed. Groceries at one stage were flying off the shelf, in particularly, quite peculiarly, you know, toilet papers. Stockpiling of medications reported of my patients struggling to get Ventolin off the pharmacist at the chemist. Malls were closed and streets were empty. There was law enforcement being imposed, fines given to those who break the law. Pastors and church leaders unable to reach out to the community physically. Literature evangelism, door-to-door knocking, prohibited. Some of the very areas where outreach were only possible were in hospital and medical clinics. How profound is this, that this has actually happened again, and I will not be surprised that it will happen again sometime in the future, because Ellen White actually told us in the book of evangelism, "I wish to tell you that soon there will be no work done in ministerial lines, but medical missionary work. Are we ready? Could this year of 2020 be a test of our readiness for medical evangelism? And on reflection, how did we fare in our ministry as healthcare workers, as doctors, dentists, nurses, allied health, lay workers, members of our church? How do we assemble ourselves to reach out to continue the mission that God has entrusted us? Who have we reached this year? Who have we prayed for? Who have we done Bible studies with? Could we have done better in our outreach, given the fact that we have been through epidemics and pandemics in the past? How could we have partnered better within our church in fulfilling the work that God has bestowed upon us? The spirit of prophecy tells us that we have a higher calling due to the uniqueness of our position, the position of influence. Ellen White wrote, "The Christian physician has a high calling. With his full knowledge of the human system and its laws, he is in the position to preach the gospel of salvation with much efficiency and power." She continued to write in Medical Ministry, "You greatly need divine wisdom to enable to serve in how many positions? Two positions of responsibility. One as a skillful physician and the other the preacher of the gospel. There must be a daily conversion in order to blend successfully the work of body and soul." You know, this quote actually hit me quite hard when I was thinking, how do I blend this? Ellen White has talked about the gospel, the right arm of the gospel must blend with the gospel itself. But how do we do that? And it says here that we can't do it on our own, even though we understand the concept of all these things, but we need divine wisdom. And how do we gain divine wisdom? Simply by spending time with God on our knees and pray and ask God to show us and lead us and guide us. And we must step up in faith. There must be a daily conversion within our hearts with the desire for mission and soul winning in order for this to blend successfully for the work of the body and soul. And Ellen White says, "I can't tell you in detail just how this should be done, but I know that you can do an important work in ministry of the word in instructing the souls for whom you labor to believe in Jesus Christ, a higher calling and a daily conversion." And nurses are also called to go forward, to awaken the truth. And Ellen White wrote, "There are many lines of the work to be carried forward by missionary nurses. There are openings for well-trained nurses to go among families to seek to awaken an interest in the truth." Can we do that during the lockdown? We as Adventists, we have the message. We have the ability to give patients hope as we place our healing hands upon them. You know, we can offer a glimpse of hope and share the gospel of Christ. As a missionary nurse care for the sick and relieve the distress of the poor, they will find many opportunities to pray with them, to read to them from God's word, to seek to speak of the Savior. You know, one of the things I've learned over the years is this, you know, and I always wonder, how do I reach out to my patients? How do I do this? How do I go out? And unless I put that purpose in my heart, unless I spend time with God in the morning to ask God to show me how, unless I have the true earnest desire, I couldn't have done it. And for a period of time, I just couldn't do it. I just didn't have I didn't find that I have the boldness to do so. And it was attending the first Amen conference in 2012. And that changed the way I view how to do medical missionary work wherever I go in my practices. And going forth by seeking the Lord and asking Him to show me that I can go with boldness, not because of my own ability, but because God has put in my heart to do so. And the changes I've seen has been profound. And here Ellen White says that the missionary nurse can find many opportunities to pray with patients, to read to them from God's word, to speak of the Savior. They can pray with and for the helpless ones. They can bring ray of hope into the lives of the defeated and disheartened. Their unselfish love, manifested in acts of disinterested kindness, will make it easier for these suffering ones to believe in the love of Christ. God tells us from the spirit of prophecy that we need to prepare the workers. We need to train the workers. We need to gear them up, equip them to go. You know, in Amen, we believe in networking. We believe in the mission. And we believe in mentorship. We believe in inspiring healthcare workers, equipping them to go forth as missionary among the fields wherever we may be to reach out to the people. One of the things, greatest mistake that I've ever made is assumption. I assume that the patients that I see has no spiritual interest. I assume they have no interest in knowing about God. They have no interest in hearing what I have to say. They have no interest in me praying for them. And that assumption has caused a lot of patients whom I could have ministered to them to slip through my fingers. And God has shown me that don't assume that when you spend time with Him, God will speak through me and will give me that bonus to be able to go forth to pray for them. And you know what? To be in all honesty, I don't pray for all my patients, but I look for opportunities to be able to share the Word of God and to be able to pray for them. And it says here that it is the positive duty of God's people to go into the regions beyond, let the forces be set at work to clear new ground, to establish centers of influence wherever an opening can be found. And rarely workers who possess, what? True missionary zeal, to go forth and diffuse light and knowledge far and near. And how do we do this? You know, we know that this year, with our center influence at Gateway, we have the We Explore Center in Clayton. And it has been about a year and a half or more that center influence has been set up. And it has been a great year last year where we host monthly dinners with the doctors. And we invite doctors to come and speak to us, to the community about health. And we share a bit of the gospel as well. And really, we want to reach out to them by meeting their needs, their health needs. And aside from that, we offer other programs like cooking classes and other form means. We try to create a connection between the community and the church. Going to meeting the needs of their health queries, we draw them and gain their trust and confidence that we come together in fellowship and get to know them. And that's where, how we can actually bridge them to coming to know about Jesus. We need to devise new plans this year because obviously with the lockdown, we can't actually open the central influence. And we started having online service, online ministry, which I'm going to talk about just a little bit. It says here, devise new plans and methods for the sake of soul winning. Let every worker in the master's vineyard study, plan, and devise methods to reach the people where they are. There was a period of time when I was working so much to the fact that I hardly had the energy or the mental capacity to think about missionary work. And I realized that this was really bogging me down. On one hand, God is calling me, said, you got to move forth. You got to go and do something to reach out to the people. I have put you in a position of influence for a reason. Not merely, although it's good to heal people physically, mentally, and emotionally, but there's a spiritual component that we have to meet. And I decided to cut back my work and devote a few days really to think about and pray, spend time with God, draw inspiration of people who have been there, and getting plans in my head, jotting them down, and pray again and ask God to show us what we ought to do. And I think that really benefited me a lot because it drew me closer to God. And to study and plan and devise methods, you need time. It's not something that we come appear overnight in our minds, but it's something that we need to pray for. We need to study what other people have done, and we need to write it down in black and white and say, look, what is the plan that God has given? God has given us an intellect to think, to plan, to study, to devise methods, to reach people where they are. We must do something of the common cause of things. We must arrest the attention of the people, and we must be deadly earnest in those things that we plan to do. Why? Because we are on the very verge of time of trouble. The perplexities that are scarcely dreamed of. You know, brothers and sisters, we are at the knife edge of fulfilling the prophecy that God has been telling us. Christ's method of labor. We may learn many valuable lessons. He did not follow merely one method. Jesus, in various ways, he sought to gain the attention of the multitude. Then he proclaimed them the truth of the gospel. What can we learn from our master? We decided this year, when COVID-19 hit us here in Victoria, a few of us scrambled together and we decided to set up a digital center of influence. We launched the online church Melbourne in March, April in 2020. One of our brothers, he had a bit of a experience about getting the gear ready. I have no experience and decided to seek things. And I'm just, you know, thrown into this water. I just had that zest for mission. We need to reach out. Our mission cannot stop. We must go. How do we do this? And we decide to set up the online church Melbourne. And we launch that with weekly health topics to draw. Our mission is to target ripened berries to the gospel. Therefore, we decide to reach to the Sunday Christians. And I know at that time, a lot of Sunday churches, they were not ready to have this assemble themselves in with online church. So we decide to launch it every Sunday at 10 a.m. in the morning, where the doctors will share the health topics. We share topics about COVID-19 and immunity. We talked about various topics of mental health, how to raise children, and gut health, and so on and so forth. And the second half of our talk, we have a pastor. And this is the first time we've ever done this. Doctors and pastors participated in this ministry to reach out to people. And we brought a lot of people into following our online church, Melbourne. We started to hold our first online evangelism with Pastor Jeff Uden, and we reached people. You know, we were just targeting a Melbourne community, but we actually reached people across the pond in the US, in Brazil, in Africa, in Southeast Asia. And we even combined efforts with Amazing Facts and Revelation Now series as well. And I would like to share with you one of the testimony from our sister across the ocean. And one of our elders preached about the Sabbath, and she was so convicted of the Sabbath, she actually posted on our Facebook page and said, look, you know, help me. I'm so convicted by the Sabbath. There is no churches around me that worship on the Sabbath. You know what? I think we're just going to worship at home. And you're just reaching out to us. Do you know, how do we do this? How do we worship at home? And we started to talk to our pastor. Our pastor managed to contact her in Africa, and spoke to her on the phone and started to have a chat with her and just to find out exactly where her location is. And once we found where the location is, we reach out somewhere to find out, are there Seventh-day Adventist church around there? And we discovered there was quite a few Seventh-day Adventist church, and we reached to her. And it was quite surprising. The next Sabbath, she had 60 people worshiping in a house. 60. You know what? Our church could only dream they're getting 60 people in our church through evangelism. And it was 60 people. You know, God can do great and mighty things that we do not even know. Our group was here. We were trying to target Melbourne community, and we end up reaching somewhere else in Africa. 60 people into the Seventh-day Adventist Church. And I praise God for the ministry that we have. what is the center of influence? It was trying to bridge between the community and to the church. Our mission must go on. There is great opportunities for us as medical missionaries to go forward, to bring forward the successful evangelistic work that God has entrusted us. It is as these lines of effort united that we may expect to gather the most precious fruit of the Lord. Every one of us while here in Zoom, I'm sure that with the technology, we're able to set up something, whether it's in our church or whether there's something that you can set up to share about health and combine that with the gospel. Who knows who you can reach? But despite the fact of what we are limited in, we need to devise new methods and new ways to reach out to people far and wide. The only thing that limits the work that we can do is ourselves. And it's not God that limits us, but we limit God by not having the faith and the boldness to go forward to what we can do. 2020 signals the urgency of our message. Are we to wait till the fulfillment of the prophecies of the end before we say anything concerning them? Of what value will our words be then? Should we wait until the God's judgment fall upon the transgressor before we tell them how to avoid them? Where is our faith in the Word of God? Must we see the things foretold to pass before we believe what He has said? In clear, distinct rays, light has come to us, showing us that the great day of the Lord is near at hand, even at the doors. Let us read and understand before it's too late. We need to make a decisive action, an effort to be undertaken. Jesus says, "Occupy till I come," in Luke 19 and verse 13. But Jesus also say, "Behold, I send you as sheep in the midst of wolves. Therefore, be wise as serpents and harmless as doves." You know, we are sometimes we limit ourselves because we are afraid of some of the things that may happen to us in medical, legal aspect of things. You know what? I believe that God will show us who to minister to and who to hold our tongue unless we spend time with Him, unless we seek Him earnestly. This cannot happen. We must ask for God's help in the ministry that we are in. There is a time and a place to minister. We are not to go to the extreme, and we're not also to go to the other extreme to be closed up either. Ellen White says, in exhortation in the prayer meetings, that some Sabbath keepers have felt that they must bring the Sabbath and the third angel's message or they could not have freedom. This is the characteristics of narrow minds. Patients not acquainted with our faith do not know what is meant by the third angel's message. The introduction of these terms without a clear explanation of them does only harm. We must meet the people where they are. And yet, we need not sacrifice one principle of the truth. There is a time and place to minister. Patients that come through, there are always ways that we need to know how to do them. So the question is how. Now this is going to tell you how. The close study and careful thought and earnest prayer. The work of winning souls to Christ demands careful preparation. Just as the architect will tell you how long it took for him to understand how to plan a tasteful, commodious building, it requires the knowledge of human nature, close study and careful thought and earnest prayer to know how to approach men and women on the great subjects of the concern of their welfare. You know, I've been very privileged to be able to reach out to some of my patients, and I'm mainly targeting Christians, Sunday Christians. And in my workplace, I've been blessed with Christian colleagues, and my boss is a Christian. And I've been praying. When I started working at my place, I was asking the Lord and say, "Lord, show me, how do I reach out to my patients?" And unbeknownst to that, I was so close-minded in reaching patients that I should be also reaching to my colleagues as well. And it turns out that my boss was a Christian and is a Christian. And we start talking about things that related to religious matters. asking about my faith. I asked her about her faith and her husband's faith. And we started a prayer meeting. Every Thursday evening, we would pray. We would have a prayer meeting. Doctors, Christian doctors, and we're doing Zoom. And we take turns in sharing the gospel. In doing so, I'm able to reach out to this family, my boss, and the husband's a practice manager. I brought them to Doug Batchelor's program earlier this year. They have attended our evangelistic program a year and a half before. And we're able to start a Bible study with them on Daniel just before the second lockdown came about. And we are praying for opportunity to be able to share with them as well. And not only reaching them on our online church, we recently started a Sabbath school, the Bible and Mental Health series. The practice managers came. We reached out to two Christian counselors who came to attend our course. We have GPs, we have patients, and we came and studied what the Bible has to say about mental health. We studied about the physiology of the brain and connect them with the scripture, and lives will change as a result of that 7 weeks of the Bible health, the Bible and the mental health series. And it was an amazing experience how we can use the digital central influence in combination with the relationship that we have with our colleagues and our patients. That is always an opening to reach out to the people that we come in contact with. There is no coincidence, but only divine intervention. God is not calling us to tell us that we need to go. When you tell them and tell God and say, look, I'm not ready. Do you know something? The Bible is consistent. God is not looking for people who are ready. God is looking for people who are willing. It's evident in Moses. You know, he says, choose Aaron. He's a better speaker than mine. But God says, I want to choose you. And so did Jeremiah. So did Isaiah. So did Jonah. God is not looking for people who are ready, because you know what? We will never be ready. But we need to ask ourselves within our hearts, am I willing? Are we going to say, here I am, Lord, take me. I'm going to go and reach out to the people. Do not be contented with healing the physical ailments while it is good and noble that we ought to do. Study and plan and know, find an entrance to the heart of the patient that you're with. And find an entering wedge to reach out to them in some ways or another. I can't tell you how the specific way to do it as well. We got to pray and spend time with the Lord. We need to require the knowledge. You know, here's a right here. I'm going to say it again. The work of winning souls to Christ demands careful preparation. It requires the knowledge of human nature. We need to study them closely with careful thought and earnest prayer. For the weight is upon us. The central influence is not a building. It is not a social platform or digital platform. It is not a restaurant by itself, because these things are inanimate objects. But the people that make the central influence, they are the people who possess true missionary zeal. It's the people that lights up the center of influence. It is not about the hardware, but the software. And we are the software. The Bible tells us in Revelation chapter 18 and verse 1, after these things, I saw another angel coming down from heaven, having great authority, and the earth was illuminated with his glory. Internet shared about the light, the countenance of Moses. When Jesus was in the Mount of Transfiguration, he was with in God's glory. Do we have the countenance of God in our lives, that we may be the light of the world? Jesus says that you are the light of the world. And he says, I am the light of the world, because we reflect the light of Jesus. Therefore, It's time for us to take up our arms and go forth. And Jesus came and spoke to them on saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Let us close with a word of prayer. Our Father in heaven, I thank you so much, Father, for being with us this evening. Father, I pray for each and every one of us here. We hold a position of influence, a position of trust, a position that you have placed us in unique circumstances to be able to reach out to the people who are downtrodden, the people who may be suffering from any physical, mental, emotional ailment. But we know all of them are suffering from spiritual ailment. Father, we need your wisdom. You have called us out. We do not know how to go forth, but Lord, show to us as we spend time with you each day. May we continue to grow spiritually closer to you, that we can see your will for us in our lives. And let not our own desire be a stumbling block for the mission that you have entrusted unto us. Help us. We know that we will never be ready, but give us a willing heart to hear your still small voice, to go forth with boldness, to be wise as serpents, but as gentle as doves. For you sent us as sheep among wolves. Father, we thank you, Lord. Remind us that it's not the buildings that are the center of influence. It's not the digital platform are the center of influence, but the people with true missionary zeal behind those modalities are the center of influence. So send us forth into the world, for truly the harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few. And we pray the Lord of the harvest to send laborers into the field. We long for your second coming. Father, this is our 9th Amen Conference. Where's it going to be in the next few years? Are we going to continue to plan the conference, a few conferences ahead? Or are we going to plan as if that this may be our last conference, that you are coming soon? Father, may we be found faithful in your eyes. Bless us as we kick start this week's theme of central influence, that we all may be changed from how we came. Thank you so much for hearing our prayer. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
This media was brought to you by Audioverse, a website dedicated to spreading God's word through free sermon audio and much more. If you would like to know more about Audioverse, or if you would like to listen to more sermons, please visit www.audioverse.org.